Winter is coming, and so are spoilers for Game of Thrones.
To the gates!
Any man dies with a clean sword, I'll rape his fucking corpse!
I just thought I'd call you up to thank you for continuing on during your review of Game of Thrones. This has been a real lifesaver for me because I do not have HBO, and this has helped me at work because I can talk to other people who have HBO and who watch Game of Thrones. It makes me feel like I'm one of the cool kids. So thank you guys for doing Game of Thrones. Bye-bye.
And welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me Hanako.
Hey, people, what's up?
Yes, and that was an enthusiastic voicemail from one of our listeners maybe 2 years ago about how much she enjoyed our Game of Thrones recaps. So she didn't leave a name, so we don't know who to thank, but we appreciate that feedback, and guess what? This year, this season, right now, right here, right now, we're doing it again.
Yes. It's been 2 years.
Oh, yes.
It's been 2 years.
I haven't missed it. but I don't have a hate on for it like I do Walking Dead. But so yeah, this is just going to be a pre-show. We're going to pick Hanako's brain. Now, let me tell you guys, this is where Hanako shines. Things like Game of Thrones, she remembers mostly everyone's names. She remembers names of towns. She remembers how everybody's has a relationship with whoever. She picks up on the things that all of us, we're just like, what now? And you'll just hear her enthusiasm. And so pretty much this is a catch up for me, because I would watch some of the other stuff, but I like listening to Hanako better. So she's been on Instagram and on Facebook, like memes. She's been looking at little videos. She, I think, brushed me off because she was doing a rewatch. We're not gonna talk about that because we're supposed to do this pre-show earlier, but we're just gonna let her ride because this is her time to shine.
Well, here's the thing. I had to go back and start rewatching because it's been 2 years, and of course we've been talking about other shows and watching other shows, so I haven't had a chance to like rewatch like I usually do. And right now I'm pretty much a show only fan because I have not gotten into the books the way that I need to. I've read through the first one, started on the second one, and then once I found out that the show was kind of deviating from some of the story, I just decided I'm going to go ahead and finish out the show since this is the last season. And then once the show is over, I can go back and read the books and kind of absorb the book canon. So, yeah.
Well, but so Eric has read a lot of the book. And he said, you know, he has patience for these things. And he said it was really tedious. It was really studious, almost like research work. And so on top of it being really heavy and really long, it was detailed in a way that he appreciated, but it was just drawn out for him. So I probably won't ever read them. But if you do, let us know. And I think he was even listening to the audiobook. And he's just like, man, still with the audiobook, it was a lot. So
see, that's the thing with audiobooks. I like audiobooks. I like what the narrators bring to them, but because my mind works a little bit fast when it comes to books, I can't sit and listen to it in real time. It makes the story boring for me. I mean, I can't do any of it. I mean, even like with Harry Potter, I can't listen to an audio version of it for too long because my brain starts thinking forward to this, you know, in the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't do the audio. So.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm not going to do either. So that's fine. This TV show is enough. So what are some of the things that you, okay. So one of the things that I got really excited about is Entertainment Weekly did like an entire Game of Thrones issue. It was like cover to cover Game of Thrones. They did a season episode by episode recap. They did things on swords, things on costumes, and so I got, they did it like a family tree. They did who's dead, who's not. And it was just a really good episode to kind of get you in the mood for Game of Thrones. And so I think like this past week, everything has become fever pitched. And if that's, I don't know if I'm using that word right, but
yes,
it's, I mean, people at work are Game of Thrones, and I've resisted jumping into the conversations mainly because I was just like, I will take over this conversation and I don't know what. So, okay, Hanako, talk to us about what has happened. Okay, so where were we the last time? Last time on Game of Thrones.
Okay, last time on Game of Thrones. I'm going to try to remember because I'm actually in the middle of doing I'm in the season 7 rewatch right now. So that's the most recent season, which was 2 long years ago. So right now we have Daenerys and Jon Snow together in all senses, in all sense of the word. John has bent the knee to Daenerys, pledging the North, Winterfell to her. So, and he did this, to kind of get her cooperation in helping to fight the Night King and his army, which she was able to see, with her own eyes. And she has a casualty from that small battle, and it was one of her dragons. So that's where we are with them. They are making their way towards Winterfell so that they can, you know, start up these battle plans. Cersei is pretty much on her own with only the Mountain and Qyburn as her counsel, because she basically was about to have her brother slash lover executed. She was going to have the Mountain kill Jaime, and he has defected, and it is assumed that he is making his way north to Daenerys and the rest of the rest of the North to fight the Night King's army. We don't know yet.
Is she pregnant? Did I remember that right?
She is.
Ah, okay.
She is pregnant.
I remember
she
one thing. Pregnant.
Okay. Yes, she is pregnant.
Is it Jamie's again, right?
Yeah, because at this point, she's not with anybody else. So I think the only other people that we know of for sure that Cersei has been with through the 7 seasons was Robert, her husband, and then Lancel, the cousin. And that is the cousin who she killed when she basically obliterated the Sept of Baelor. Yeah. So yeah, it's Jaime. So we don't know how that's gonna play in.
What about Sansa?
Sansa is right now, she is basically in charge of the North while Jon is away at Dragonstone. He left the North to go meet with Daenerys to, I guess, try to get the measure of who she is as a person and as a queen. And then also because she at the time was stationed at Dragonstone Island, which is where she was born. And Dragonstone Island is the island that has the Mountain of Dragonglass. And Dragonglass is the known substance that can kill the White Walkers. So she's in charge. All of the Stark children have been reunited, all of the remaining Stark children. So Sansa, Arya, and Bran are all at Winterfell now. We got a glorious death in the form of Littlefinger because of that reunion, which was just lovely to see. Cat doesn't sound impressed.
Oh, no, yeah, I remember. I was just like, oh, yeah. No, that was a, oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was a good moan, I guess. So where is Tyrion?
Tyrion is with Daenerys. He is Hand of the Queen, so he is with her. But we don't know quite what's going on with Tyrion. He may have come to some kind of agreement with Cersei. In the last season, there was a meeting of all of the current, quote unquote, queens and kings. So there was a meeting with Cersei and Daenerys and Jon Snow and Euron Greyjoy, basically to introduce the White Walkers to Cersei and the people of King's Landing to let them know that this threat was real. And during that meeting, Tyrion met with Cersei to try to get her cooperation, to try to get her to agree to send her army up north to help them fight the White Walkers. Once Tyrion found out that Cersei was pregnant, we think maybe there was some kind of agreement made. I don't know what. At this point, I'm not speculating about anything going into the final six episodes because Game of Thrones has a way of, and I'm saying this purely as a TV watcher and not a book watcher, and that, I mean, book reader. And at this point, I think the show has actually gone past the books as far as stories. So at this point, I don't presume to know anything that's about to happen because they have a really good way of weaving in things into the story that I, not being an overly analytical person, don't see. You know, when I first watched the stories, I'm watching it purely for the entertainment value and to just see what's there. And then usually on the rewatches is when I start picking apart the episodes and I start hearing things that I may have missed the first one or two or 10 times I've seen it, because every single time I rewatch an episode, I learn something new or I see something that I may have missed a couple of times before. Just like last night, I rewatched season 6 and there was a conversation that Tyrion was having with Daenerys, and he basically said, "Do you know what the Mad King threatened to do to King's Landing before he was killed?" And he starts telling her about how he was planning to kill everyone in the country when the Lannister forces were at the gate. And he made mention of stores of wildfire being hidden throughout the city. And he listed several different locations, including the Sept of Baelor. And of course, we know that that's what Cersei used to bring down the Sept right before her trial. So it's like, I really never paid attention to that prior to season 7. So when I heard that last, I was like, wait, they literally just told us what was going to happen without saying this is what's going to happen. So it's kind of like going back and watching these things and kind of picking things apart. I'm starting to piece together some things, but again, I kind of want to be like really surprised at the main plot and what's going to happen in the story. So I'm really trying not to overthink it. There are certain things that, of course, we know going in. We did get confirmation at the end of last season that Jon Snow is actually, in fact, the son of Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Okay. So I don't remember what happened, really. So does he know it and Daenerys know it, or do we just know it?
We know it, and
who told us?
People. We saw it in a vision that Bran had.
So Bran knows.
Bran had the vision, and we also got a little bit of it when Sam was at the Citadel, because as he and Gilly were doing research, she happens to come across a journal entry from one of the old maesters that stated that he annulled the marriage between Rhaegar Targaryen and Elia Martell. He annulled that marriage so that he could marry Rhaegar and Lyanna. See, up until this point, the whole story has been that the whole reason Robert Baratheon went to war with the Targaryens is because he was promised to Lyanna Stark. They were supposed to get married. He was in love with her. And then she was supposedly kidnapped, raped, and left for dead by Rhaegar Targaryen. So that's the whole story. That's the whole reason why the rebellion took place and why Robert ended up on the throne. So we start to learn in season 6 that she actually had a child, and it's revealed that this is the child that Ned took back to Winterfell and raised this disaster. So we know that it's Lyanna's child, and up until then, we think it that Jon is a product of Rhaegar, because that's the whole story that we've been told
throughout
6 seasons, that Rhaegar Targaryen raped and killed Lyanna Stark, was responsible for her death. Then we find out in season 7, once Bran is the three-eyed raven and he comes home and he starts having more visions, we actually see the full scene take place where Rhaegar and Lyanna are married. So it's a secret marriage, and apparently at this point, they consummate the marriage, she gets pregnant, and she's hidden throughout this whole thing, so nobody knows where she is, nobody knows, you know, if she's alive, if she's dead, they don't know what condition she's in. So when Ned finds her, she's already given birth, and from the scene that we see, it was a very bloody birth, it was a very hard birth, and she eventually dies from it, but not before telling Ned what her child's name is, and she named him Aegon Targaryen. So she named him after his grandfather. So we do know that Jon is a Targaryen, which means that he is the rightful heir to the Iron Throne, which will maybe throw a monkey wrench in, of course, his and Daenerys' relationship and how they relate to each other, because Daenerys, up until this point, thinks that she is the only one who has a rightful claim to the throne.
Well, what about Cersei?
Cersei basically assumed the throne once Tommen killed himself, because Tommen had no heirs. Joffrey had no heirs. So literally, Cersei just sees power. She just sees power as the queen mother. There were no other heirs, so it went to her. But, you know, it presents a bit of a problem, because one, now we find out that Jon is actually Daenerys, which is, you know, takes on a whole different.
So wait, we are saying that Jon and Daenerys are cousins, right?
No, Jon is her nephew.
Oh, her Rhaegar nephew. Rhaegar is
her oldest brother.
Well, then why is his claim more, if she's older than him, why is his claim more than hers? Sexism?
That's one, but because Aegon was king, the Mad King was on the throne. That was Rhaegar and Daenerys' father. Once Jaime Lannister killed him, the crown, the line of succession would have gone to Rhaegar, because he was the oldest of the two brothers. It was Rhaegar and Viserion.
So Rhaegar is Jon's dad.
Yes. So once he was killed by Robert Baratheon, the line of succession would have fallen to Jon, if Jon was recognized as a legal heir, which we know he is, because Rhaegar and Lyanna were married. So he is a legal heir. He's not like a Targaryen bastard. He is actually the legal son of Rhaegar and Lyanna. So by all accounts, he is the rightful heir to the Iron Throne. He technically should be sitting on the Iron Throne as king right now.
But wait a second. If the brother before Rhaegar was king, making Daenerys queen, he got killed.
No. The reason why Daenerys has a claim to the throne now, there were 3 Targaryen siblings that were the children of the Mad King. It was Rhaegar, Viserion, and Daenerys.
Oh, so she's not directly like a daughter of the Mad King. She's a granddaughter.
No, she is the daughter of the Mad King, but her two brothers who would have succeeded her, they are dead. Rhaegar is the one that was killed by Robert Baratheon.
I get that.
Then Viserion is the brother that we met in the first season. He's the one who
I remember him.
Quote unquote crown by Khal Drogo.
Yes. Okay.
Now she thinks that she is the only living Targaryen, so that title automatically succeeds to her, because her two older brothers are dead. But as it is with royal families, the titles are usually passed down from the title holder to the oldest son. If the oldest son cannot take the title, then it goes to the second born son.
And he has no brothers in that way. So then...
No, because the only other children who would have been able to have the crown would have been the children of Rhaegar Targaryen and Elia Martell, because they were legally married. They actually had children together. When he annulled the marriage, and I have to go back and rewatch because I'm not clear about how this happened, but when he annulled the marriage, Elia Martell and her children were all murdered by the Mountain. And I don't know if that was on Robert Baratheon's orders so that they wouldn't have a claim to the throne, or if that was on Rhaegar's orders so that he could be free and clear to marry Lyanna. I don't think that Lyanna Stark would be in love with or marry a man who would murder his first wife and children. So I'm thinking it was
Robert Baratheon. Oh, this is Game of Thrones. You don't know.
I don't know. Because for all intents and purposes, everything that we've seen of the Stark show that they are all very moral. They are all very, they're very different from everyone else as far as their loyalty, their honesty, and their character. That's one of the reasons why Ned died, because he was too honest of a man, and he didn't know how to be that manipulative and kind of, you know, work his way around the quote unquote Game of Thrones. So, you know, now that we know that Jon is a Targaryen, he has the rightful claim to the throne. So we don't know what kind of monkey wrench this is going to throw into his relationship with Daenerys.
And they can't rule together as king and queen?
They probably could, but I don't know how that would work. And then, of course, what do you mean?
Because there's king and queens all the time. What do you mean?
I mean, is Daenerys, after thinking for so long that crown is hers, is Daenerys going to be willing to share that crown? Is she going to be really willing to co-rule?
I think maybe if they have a discussion and she saw how willing Jon was to bend the knee to her. Also, Jon, as per his character, maybe he doesn't want to be king of everything.
I don't think he does. But I'm not going to speculate on that part because I don't know how they're going to play this whole thing, because we, like you said, we do know that Cersei is pregnant. We also, I believe there is speculation that because Jon and Daenerys consummated their relationship at the end of the seventh
consummated.
Season. Well, you know what I'm saying.
You're just making me laugh.
So now there's a possibility she may be pregnant. They kind of hinted that a lot, because there was a lot of talk last season between Daenerys and Jon about the fact that she cannot give birth to children. And, you know, there was a small conversation and Jon said, well, who told you that? And she said, the witch that cursed my husband. He said, well, did you ever stop to think that she might not be a reliable source? And it's kind of like I felt like they were playing that conversation, not necessarily into the ground, but I think they put it out there more than once during the season to kind of say, okay, this is something that might can happen. Maybe Daenerys can get pregnant. And I have a feeling it's going to be, that's something that's going to happen. So something about those two babies is going to be important to the story.
Oh, the two babies, right.
Let's think about it. If Daenerys is pregnant and she's a queen, you know, with a quote unquote rightful claim to the Iron Throne, and then Cersei is pregnant and she's queen and she's currently on the Iron Throne.
And she gives birth to a boy.
Yeah, but I don't know. There was an episode a few seasons back. I want to say it was either season 4 or season 5 where we get a glimpse of Cersei's past. And she basically met with a witch who gave her a prophecy. And the prophecy talked about, it basically predicted the death of all three of her children. gold are their shrouds or something like that. And that was something that Cersei saw come to light. And then there was a part of the prophecy that talks about either her demise or her ruin coming at the hands of a little brother or something like that.
So, okay, I found it. It says she asked if she'll be queen. She was told she'll be queen for a time. Then comes another younger, more beautiful to cast you down and take all you hold dear. She asks if and the king will have children. She said, no, the king will have 20 children and you will have 3. Gold will be their crowns and gold their shrouds. And then she says, she said to someone else, she promised me 3 children. She promised me they'd die and gold their shrouds. Everything she said came true. It's prophecy. It's fate. But then they go to mention in this article that their books, there's more to the prophecy. And it says, and when your tears have drowned you, the Valonqar shall wrap his hands around your pale white throat and choke the life from you. And Valonqar means little brother in High Valyrian.
Okay. So that's the thing. People speculated that that means either Jaime or Tyrion will kill her, because technically speaking, both of them are her little brothers. She is the oldest twin. So Jaime is technically her little brother. Hmm. But after we find out she's pregnant, I started wondering if maybe that little brother that will choke the life out of her, kill her is. I started wondering if that was the baby.
That's a good observation.
Speaking, the baby is the little brother of her other children, and it does say that she will have 3 children. It does not say 4.
Right. So maybe they both will die in childbirth, and she'll be in some place where she can't breathe.
I don't know. So if a lot of this is going to be interesting, and I'm just wondering how they're going to do everything in 6 episodes. I really wish they would give us more, but
they so are these traditional 1-hour episodes or what?
I believe most of them are just over 1 hour in runtime. So we're going to get some longer episodes, and I think the last episode is probably the longest. But Jeez. They're not going to be like these long 1.5-hour episodes or anything. But apparently, from one of the interviews that I read, it said that it's almost like we're not going to have time to breathe. It's like the episodes are action-packed and the episodes are full of information, and they're going to overload us a lot. So it's like, yeah, 6 episodes, but they're making sure that we're not going to feel the fact that they're 6 episodes.
Oh dear, because sometimes they get boring throughout a full season, and I mean, still good because they are packed with information, but sometimes some of the episodes drag. Yeah, we're not going to get a chance to breathe with the final 6 episodes. Are you kidding me? They could at least add it one more or something. This is going to be neck break. So I have a proposal to finish that thought. Okay. I have a proposal for you that maybe tonight we can record if you'd like. After yes. the show, yes. you'd like because, that? You know,
yes, because everything will be fresh, and we can kind of get it all out there. And yes, that would be great. I'm going to be up because I will most likely, especially if the episode is good, and I'm needing to take some time to process. I'm probably going to go ahead and watch the encore presentation for tonight as well. Maybe once we're done with recording our initial reactions, I'll go back and rewatch, and then maybe I may have some fresh thoughts when we come together with the group.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's just
for tonight. It's just Hanako and I. We're gonna get in there. I'm pretty sure we're gonna be doing a lot of squealing and a lot of whatever, but we want to let you guys know our intentions, where we were, where we thought we were in the story, as far as what we remembered. I would really, 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 unless you have any final thoughts on tonight before I wrap it up or anything, Hanako?
Winter is here.
It's actually spring, but whatevs. But
I'm glad that we're having an opportunity, because it's been 2 years, and Game of Thrones is one of the shows that I think we cover fairly regularly and heavily. on the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. And so to be without it for 2 years, it's just, for me, it kind of felt like a little bit of a void in the show. I mean, we cover a lot of other shows. We cover a lot of other great shows, but there's something about Game of Thrones. And I think the massive, I don't know, it's one of those things where worldwide, like, it captivates everyone. And to be able to be a part of that and talk about it and just to get the different reactions, because we all know, especially you guys who have listened to us, you know, Kat has not always been on board. Like, there have been times when she has absolutely hated seasons, or she's hated, you know, certain episodes or things that they've done in the episodes. And my daughter and I had a conversation about this earlier today, and some friends, you know, that I've seen who have claimed, you know, who have said they've never watched it. Yeah. And it was a lot of it has to do with the fact that in the earlier seasons, you see a lot more of, I guess you could say, quote unquote, day to day things as far as how life was in Westeros. So that included a lot of village pillaging and raping and all of this other stuff and violence against women. And we really haven't seen a lot of that, I would say, in the last season and a half, maybe two seasons. I think the most gut-wrenching thing that we've seen in the last couple of seasons hasn't been the rape of anybody, but Princess Shireen, when she was burned at the stake, that was kind of horrible for a lot of people. But if we go back a little bit, I think the last time we saw anything that was on that nature was probably Sansa, if I'm not mistaken, when she was wed to Ramsay Bolton. So it's kind of gone away from that aspect of the story, and now it's gone into like full, juicy storytelling, you know, a lot more of the character development and background, which is something that we didn't have in the earlier seasons, because that was part of the mystery and it was part of the appeal of the show. And I think now that everything is kind of being revealed and coming to fruition, I think these last six episodes are going to be really fulfilling for some of us, even those of us who fell off for a little bit.
Whatever. But let me say something too. I think there's a freedom from George R.R. Martin that the writers have, and him not being as far as in the books. And so they're taking creative license, and I feel like they're taking it, they're running with it, and they're trying to get it all out before he put his little masochistic pen to paper and torture us. Because I feel like we were kind of going by the book, but they took creative license because they kind of had, a little bit, but they didn't deviate like totally far. But now that nothing was written and they have freedom, I feel like they're able to make a really good TV show without being weighed down by George R.R. Martin's whatever he's doing, his sick, twisted stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Maybe. I agree. I do. But, you know, we'll see. There is a Game of Thrones prequel series coming to TV.
I look forward to that. I mean, I feel like I want to watch that. Like, I feel like I'm not burnt out. And, you know, Hanako's not wrong. I've been through some stuff with Game of Thrones. I think my reactions were reasonable, given that they stabbed pregnant women and raped women on TV. You know, it's just not entertainment for me. It's not even historically valuable to me. But they did some things in the later seasons that really delighted me. It's for one, killing Jon Snow. That was just my favorite. And if you listen back to a Sci-Fi Party Line when Jon Snow was dead, oh boy, oh, I rubbed it in. Oh, those are good times.
We'll not talk about that dark period in our history.
I loved it, but I liked that they took that chance and they went, it was really bold, and it endeared me to the writers and everybody. We didn't talk about the coming war with the White Walkers or anything like that, because, you know, I feel like I thought when this show first aired that it was going to be a very different show. I thought it was going to be scary. I thought we were going to get more mystery and more magic especially with the White Walkers, and we're going to figure out the why and the how of that. So I thought the show would be a little more magical and less brutal. but I obviously had not heard of the books or read the books or anything because, I was living in a Lord of the Ring, post Lord of the Rings fairy tale. So I didn't think it would be as harsh. Now when we are getting to the White Walkers, I feel like maybe some of the mystery of what their desires are, what they want, what they're trying to do, will become clear, because right now they're just like bad guys, and what do they want? You know, like I know that they have like this viral thing where it's like, we want to turn everyone and we want to rule the land. But let's say you do that, then what?
Well, here's the other thing. This is something else that I remembered during my rewatch. So the episode from season 6, I believe it was episode 5, that's the episode where we learn a little bit more about the history of Three-Eyed Raven, and we learn a little bit more about Hodor's background before we lose him. So that was a rough episode, but that was also the episode that Bran went through his travels to the past with the Three-Eyed Raven, and he saw that the Children of the Forest were in fact the ones that actually created the White Walkers. And
right, I remember, right?
And because I was watching it by myself this time, I was actually able to like really pay attention to what was being said and what was going on. There were some things I think I missed the first couple of times that I watched the show. And basically what happened was, I don't know where the relationship between the Children of the Forest and the First Men started to fracture, but apparently the First Men were killing the Children of the Forest. And so the Children of the Forest created the White Walkers to protect them from humans. And technically speaking, that's what the White Walkers are doing. They're going after the humans as they were designed to, but I don't think the Children of the Forest expected it to get to the point that it has gotten.
Do these Children of the Forest still exist?
I know that they did in that episode because they were there with the Three-Eyed Raven. Now, most of them were killed as they were trying to save Bran, so I don't know if any of them survived, and there may be
more. Was there like 4 people, though?
There were quite a few.
There were a few
prominent ones, and there was just this one main one, and she was the one that actually communicated with Bran and with Mira and his Hodor. So I don't know if they're still around. I know.
So then, if the Children of the Forest aren't still around, they still have this massive group fighting for them or on behalf of them. For what purpose and to what end? You know what I mean?
I think it's kind of like, you know, you create something for a specific purpose, and then they somehow evolve to where they're serving their own needs. It's kind of like all the shows that we ever watch about AI, how AIs were developed for one thing, and then all of a sudden they develop their own consciousness, they develop their own needs, and then that's how they take over the world.
Right.
Something like this, like you create something for a specific purpose, and then after a while, evolution just kind of happens, and maybe they realize, oh, okay, yeah, well, we can just go out and kill everybody and make this massive army. To what end? I don't know, because once you conquer the world and you're all White Walkers, then what? So I don't know.
You decline, the Roman Empire or the British Empire. Like, where do you have to go after that?
You know, it's kind of interesting, too. Season 6 is the first season that we see Benjen Stark, Ned's brother, reunited with a member of his family, because he comes to the forest and he rescues Bran and Mira from the White Walkers that are chasing them. Right. And we remember Benjen Stark because he disappeared in, I believe it was season 1. He went out to range beyond the wall and he never came back.
Right.
So we find out in that episode that he and his rangers were basically, they were in a fight with the White Walkers. He was stabbed by one of the White Walkers' weapons and was left to die. And what happened was the Children of the Forest found him. And because he was still alive, they were able to stop him from dying and the transformation from taking place. And the way that they did that was the same way that they created the White Walkers in the first place. They basically, they struck him through the heart with a piece of dragon glass. So that's why he's still alive, but he looked the way he did, like he was half dead, because technically speaking, that's where they stopped him in the process. So because of that, he was never able to go back to the wall, because there's magical protections that keep, that are supposed to keep the White Walkers away from the human populace. And because he was half dead, that magic affected him.
So I wonder if he's half dead, and then, like, is he half dead in the way that guy that is helping the bald headed lady in The Walking Dead, are they both half dead in the same way?
No, I think Benjen is half dead by magic. His is magic, having to do with the Children of the Forest and what they did to create the White Walkers. I think the Mountain is just I won't even say half dead. I believe he's alive and that Qyburn saved him, but he did it with medical science. So it's kind of like a Frankenstein type thing. You know, where he didn't quite die. He was close to it, and Qyburn was able to save him, but he probably had to do some unquestionable things in order to save him. I mean, if you remember the episode where Cersei killed everyone in the Sept, and then she went down to basically tease and torture Septa Unella before she let the Mountain get at her. When he removed his helmet, you got to remember, now that I think about it, he pretty much looked like Thanos. His face was purple.
But you know, I was making a Walking Dead reference though, right? And not The Wall. But yeah, I'm glad you went through this. You covered this, because I forgot about that. But yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, I don't think we'll see Benjen Stark again, because again, he came to the rescue of another family member, John, after they were attacked by the White Walkers. And John was basically left behind because he fell into the water with the White Walkers.
I think he could have survived. I'm still on team Benjen is alive or still half dead. I don't believe that I just find it ridiculous. If he's half dead, why is him going into water going to make him more dead?
No. John was the one that went into water, but Benjen saved him, put him on a horse and sent him back to the wall, and he held off the White Walkers from coming after him.
Yeah, but still, he was still half dead. Maybe he's going to be full dead, but an ice walker. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't want to see Benjen as an ice walker. I don't. But
I enjoyed him. I wanted more of his character. I liked his face, which is bizarre, but I don't. I wouldn't say like he's, I don't know if he's handsome, but I just like looking at him. I mean, I don't know if he's not handsome. I just like his face. I'm not really sure why. I don't know. Whatever.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, that's the worst compliment ever, but I want some Benjen. Let's see, what else? So we pretty much know that this is going to be a bloody war. We pretty much know somebody's going to die. We don't know who. Like, who could we spare? Like, are we going to see a Stark child die? Are we going to see Cersei die? Who can we spare? You know what I mean? This is like the last book of Harry Potter, and you don't know who's going to die in this big freaking war with Voldemort, and who will live. And like, who, they can't all live. And it's going to be somebody that we like.
Well, at this point, I'm not expecting anyone to live. I'm not expecting anyone to die. I just pretty much, at this point, I just know it's going to be a bloodbath. And I'm just going to kind of resign myself to that. I think the last time we actually had our own Game of Thrones fan pool. And that was when you know, the guys went to find the White Walkers before Dany rescued them, we had this big poll within our group as far as who was going to live and who was going to die. And I think some of us were pretty...
We didn't guess that one, guys. Like, some of us had half points for the person who it actually was, but wasn't it just one person?
Thoros of Myr, yes.
Yeah, but we didn't figure him for it, but some of us kind of put him down for a half point. I'm not sure who won that. I forgot. But yeah, it was hard. It was really hard.
So like, for this one, I'm not even gonna speculate. I will
say that. Yeah, but he was basically a red shirt, though, Hanako. Like, this is the end. Like, we didn't know that guy. So he's dead. Blur. Like who is Gilly gonna die? Like, who's... who can die?
I don't know. Let's just say that I have a feeling that a couple of these episodes that we're going to record, especially if we're doing it after the show, like immediately after the show, I'm probably going to be in tears for a couple of them. So I'm just warning you guys ahead. I'm one of those, I watch everything and I feel everything. Like, even rewatching the season, I know what's about to happen. Certain things, but the whole The Door episode, I knew Toto was about to die, and I started crying, like, ugly crying, bawling, like, in my soul crying. I cried when Sansa and Jon reunited. I cried when Sansa and Arya reunited, and when they reunited with Bran. And I know I'm gonna cry when Arya and Jon reunite. That's like the reunion I have been waiting for since season one. I'm waiting for that one. I want to see how things go when Gendry and Arya reunite. I want to see how it is when Jaime and Tyrion reunite. So I just, there's a lot of things that I'm looking
for. They already reunited, right?
Positive. Jaime and Tyrion, no, because remember the last episode, one of the last, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought they went and met each other underground.
They met each other underground.
So yes, that was a reunion.
No, because they were still on opposing sides at that point. Because Jaime was still under Cersei, and Tyrion was with Daenerys. But now Jaime is pretty much, he has nowhere to go because Cersei has pretty much cast him out.
I forgot why. What happened again?
Basically, Jaime found... Cersei told Jon and Daenerys that she would commit her troops to come north to help them fight the White Walkers. And then we find out in a conversation that she was having with Jaime that she lied to them, that she has no intention of sending her people up there. She's going to let the White Walkers just finish them off, and then that way she can keep the Iron Throne.
I mean, strategically, it's fine. But
yeah, and Jaime did not. He did not agree with that because he was like, you gave them your word. You saw what they're fighting against. And Cersei's whole thing is, I don't care about them. All I care about is right here in this room, King's Landing. She was like, everyone else can burn. So basically, in my opinion, it's almost like she's turning into the Mad Queen because that's the same way the Mad King was. He was like, okay, well, if I can't have this throne, nobody can have this throne. I'm going to kill everyone, kill them all. And I feel like that's what Cersei is about to do now. Like, she's so obsessed with protecting this child and leaving this so-called dynasty for years to come that nobody's going to remember because they're all going to be dead. Yes. And Jaime basically told her, I can't let you do this. And she was about to have the mountain kill him. So once he realized, okay, she's so far gone that she's even willing to kill me. Like, Jaime has been her most loyal supporter ever. Not only that, that is her lover, that is the father of her child, and she's still willing to kill him to get what she wants. And I think it just kind of clicked in Jaime's head. Lady Olenna was right. Cersei's going to be she's going to be my downfall. So he left. He was like, oh, you're really considering killing me? Okay, you know what? I'm done. Bye, peace. And he left. So I think he's on his way north. You know, he gave his word that he would come help and fight, and I think that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, I feel that's it. Like, that is like the last few episodes, right? Like,
yeah, that was pretty much the last episode because I think the last we saw Jaime, he was heading out of King's Landing he puts on his gloves, and all of a sudden, there's snowflakes on his gloves. So
Yes. Okay, so I don't remember the fate of the bookworm nerdy monk, not monk guy. What is he doing?
Damn, he is actually at, he's at Winterfell.
Okay, yes.
He made it to Winterfell because when he figured out the truth of John's birth, he traveled to Winterfell to tell John, and the last conversation was him and Bran together talking about it, and Bran was like, yes, he needs to know.
Okay, so that's about to happen. And then, so what happened to Scaly Skin Guy? That was Jorah,
he is with Daenerys. He is on his way. He is on his way north with her.
He's cured, right?
Yes, he is. Matter of fact, Sam was the one that cured him.
Right. I remember now. I remember. Okay.
Once he realized that was Lord Commander Mormont's son, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to let you die, too.
Yeah. Because I like him. He's a leathery, sexy thing. I like him. I'm not really sure how that sounds, but whatever. Who else? Is that it?
Let's see. Everybody else. Gendry is with Jon Snow and the rest of them. So he's on his way to Winterfell. So he's going to reunite with Arya. Oh,
what about the Iron People? Is the Iron Queen? Wait, not the Iron. What are they called?
Oh, the Greyjoys.
The Greyjoys. Yes.
I believe Theon is back with Daenerys. I think they still have to rescue his sister from Euron.
Right. Because Euron was going to take the sister to where now? Cersei?
No, he took Ilaria Sand and her daughter to Cersei. From Dorne. The ones who killed Missandei.
Her daughter. Right. Okay, but then so who the what uncle or something has the sister?
Yeah, Euron has Yara, and I don't know what he plans to do with her. I guess he's going to maybe kill her so that kind of solidifies his reign as the king of the Iron Islands. I don't know. I don't really remember where we last left off with them. I'm actually, once we get off here, I'm going to go watch the final three episodes of.
Do we have time? I guess we do have time for that, except for me, who has to edit because we had audio issues. Whatever.
So I think if I go watch the last three episodes, by the time I get done with the third episode, we should be going into the premiere.
Okay. All right. So I feel ready. I thought we were ready to end, and I thought I was ready earlier, but no, I'm ready now.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, man, this is exciting. So, any final thoughts?
No.
Let's do this. Okay, so you'll be seeing the Game of Thrones episodes in our main Sci-Fi Party Line feed. They're going to be called South of the Wall. We're going to mark them with episode numbers. And yeah, we're ready to do this. We're ready to see what's going to go down. Yes. We have a website. You can comment there at scifipartyline.com. We'd love to hear more voicemail. And you can call us at 773-336-2686. We're on Twitter, Facebook. We're on Google Play. You can subscribe there. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe there. And you can also stream us on Spotify. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.